Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, we will turn our attention to a Wake Forest preview, pivot away from what was one of our more popular, maybe even polarizing, if you want to use the second P-word podcast that we recorded last week, and eager to see what comes from here. So 0-2 start, a trip to North Carolina this weekend, and before we jump into it, we will thank our friends at Louisiana Hot Sauce who are supportive and wonderful sponsors, again, regardless of what the record of the team is. So I want to encourage people to always keep them in the back of their mind. And if you do reach out to social media, just make sure that you're actually using their account. There's a lot of similar-looking accounts, and it's easy to maybe tag the wrong hot sauce. So just one little minor detail that I'll start the podcast off with.
Absolutely, very important. Their hot sauce account is LA_hot_sauce. So pretty solid there. Look, guys, we're going to start this off. We are not going to rant and rave every episode. I think we pretty clearly outlined the changes that we think need to be made in the offseason. Florida State is not going to fire any coaches during the season. It's not going to convince any coaches to retire or to take another job during the season. We're not going to just sit here and yell and scream every podcast. In fact, I think that's why last episode was, you know, so overwhelmingly popular, because we finally kind of got, you know, got heated about it. And I think it was justified. But while that can help shape your discussion, we're not going to do that all the time. Tonight, we're going to break down Wake Forest like it's any other week. Florida State does still have, you know, an outside shot to win the ACC. They would have to run the table and then get some help. But it's not, you know, completely out of the realm of possibility. And to do that, they're going to have to take down Wake Forest on the road. 3:30 game, and spread is 7 or 7.5. Ingram, that is the lowest against Wake Forest since the Bowden days.
I'm not a, and this is obviously a topic that we normally get to at the end of the pod. I'm not a gambling man, but if you want to, you want a nice little blend of being able to cheer for your team and maybe feel comfortable about placing a bet on your team. That seems like an awful enticing number there to be put on this game to play Florida State.
Yeah, I think I know where I'm going with this as well. But first, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Wake Forest does? This podcast will do, we'll say, hey, what does Wake Forest do on defense? How should FSU attack this? What does Wake Forest do on offense? And how should they attack that? So why don't you hit us first with, yeah. By the way, guys, Wake Forest is undefeated. They're 4-0. They've beaten like Presbyterian, Boston College, Utah State, and App State on a blocked field goal at the end. I've watched about 1 hour of Wake Forest footage, which I'm guessing is more than everybody listening to this podcast put together. But I watched all their touchdown plays. I watched all the plays they create turnovers on, and you know, maybe 100 something more snaps. I feel like I've got a decent handle on what they do, or at least what they've done so far. Ingram, you know, I know we discussed earlier. Why don't you tell us a little bit what they do on defense?
Yeah, it's kind of the, and in your mind, this is kind of the traditional Wake Forest defense. And in fact, I mean, it's frequently of 4-2-5, smaller up fronts. They do a lot to try to create situations, just to be able to create, reestablish the line of scrimmage. Always a defensive line that tries to aggressively attack the line of scrimmage and get penetration, cause chaos in the opponent's background, or in the opponent's backfield, rather. Their defensive ends are pretty good. Jabari Williams may be their best defensive player overall. Again, a unit that's well-coached and a unit that is a little undersized, but not anything that will necessarily scare you or blow you away when you look at their first four games.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with it. Like, they play well, but there's not a whole lot of guys on this defense who are just going to, like show up and be like, okay, that guy's a future first rounder, that guy's a future first rounder. But they do play good team defense. I really don't – I'm not that impressed with the teams that they have faced so far. We know Boston College's offense is just an absolute train wreck. App State's offense, I don't think is very good. I mean, looking who they've played so far, App State played Texas State and put up 4.96 yards a play. Texas State is a bad team. You know, they put up 5.68 against Wake Forest. Okay. You know, that's, I think, fairly encouraging for FSU. They put up 4.44 at Georgia. Georgia's a really elite defense this year. So that you know, this is the App State team that just gave him a little bit of trouble is not that great of an offense either. I do think Florida State, even with the freshman quarterback James Blackman, will be probably by far the best offense that, that Wake Forest has faced so far this year. And I have respect for Wake Forest's defense. They did lose Mike Elko, who is their great defensive coordinator, who always kind of gave Jimbo Fisher fits, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like yeah, it was one of those coaching personnel issues that always seemed to not wear right on Jimbo.
Yeah, it would just like they would play some trap coverages and do some things that really confused Fisher's offense, and that, you know, that's interesting because sometimes you're really good against one guy and you're not as good against another. I think Jimbo was actually really good against Brent Venables. You know, he seems to be able to create explosive plays against Clemson's defensive coordinator, who everybody thinks is all world, including me. I mean, the guy's a wizard, but Jimbo seems to kind of have his number as far as creating the big plays a lot of times, and yet Mike Elko would just give Jimbo fits. Often. So they don't have him
and
anymore.
The one guy, I've just got to get this in because, you know, positive comments and the ability to make snide remarks are few and far between this weekend, or this year. But the guy that Jimbo historically probably has the best relationship with, if you're looking at a Florida State perspective, is one Randy Shannon. So just one more thing to look forward to towards the end of the year.
I cannot wait for that game. I had dinner tonight with several Gators and congratulated them on their coach having the best start in SEC history. SEC history, 15-3 in the league,
15-3, not going anywhere.
Saturday, he may go to 16-3. We have our graphics ready. We're gonna congratulate Jim McElwain on his amazing start in the SEC. Hashtag extend Mac. The other guy to know is Duke Ejiofor or Ejiofor. I'm actually not sure how to say his name. It's the guy on film. If you watch him, he's running around getting a lot of tackles for loss and sacks. And he's probably the guy Florida State wants to give some help to. Or they could just have Derek Kelly try to block him one-on-one all day without any help and see how that goes. He's not Bradley Chubb, but I still think you may want to help him out just a little bit more. How does Florida State want to attack Wake Forest? You know, to be honest, Wake's defense is not that much different style-wise, and personnel it is, than NC State. So if I'm Wake, or if I'm Florida State, I probably try to do about the same thing I try to do to NC State. Because my true freshman quarterback, I don't want to throw too much at him. It's pretty clear what he's comfortable with and what he's not comfortable with. He was certainly a lot more comfortable with Auden Tate. Now, I know Jimbo Fisher said that Auden Tate would be able to play in this game. This is Thursday night that he said this. Let me find his exact quote if I can find it. Auden Tate has returned to practice and will be available and expected to play at Wake Forest on Saturday, apparently. This is a reading from the injury report. But, we'll see about that. I'm not 100% certain that Auden Tate is actually going to play or that he really fully returned to practice. He may have come out of practice and jogged around a little bit or something, but I would be very surprised if Auden Tate plays and makes a major impact in this game. Matthew Thomas, on the other hand, and we'll get to this on defense in a minute, from what I know, has practiced all week fully and is ready to go. So that's a good thing right there. Need him on your defense. But, man, I would stick with what they were doing last week. You know, for the most part, maybe involve the tight ends a little bit more. I know Maven Saunders did not have a great day blocking when he was in the game there against NC State, but maybe try to involve the tight ends more, maybe run a little more pistol, maybe run some pistol plus with two backs. Without Tate, if you don't have him, you know, you're down one of the receivers you can count on the most. So I would pretty much just stick with what they were doing, man, and maybe run the football a little bit more.
This is actually a game that I think Jacquez Patrick could have a pretty big game. I would like to see him step up, and I agree. I think the opportunities to run the ball, maybe even the necessity to run the ball, will both be present. So interesting to see what comes. If you see any pistol with a pony that we talked about earlier, just looking to see kind of what this offense ultimately finds its own identity, and whatever that is, you're probably going to need Keith Gavin to play with a higher level of ability, but also confidence in his ability, and maybe Nunu Murray to play with an ounce or two more maturity.
Exactly right. Like, it looks like Keith right now, man, he needs a big catch. He needs something to get his confidence back, you know?
Yeah, he does look like he looks like the most physically gifted wide receiver who doesn't believe in anything that he's really doing right now. So, yeah, I completely agree. I think he just needs that one that one play where maybe he runs over a safety who runs up, tries to make a tackle or something like that, and it just gets back on track for him. Because right now he just looks a little bit unsure of himself.
That'd be great, man. Like, you know, let's use play action. Let's create some max protect opportunity. Let's give Keith Gavin some one-on-one opportunities down the field. We know James Blackman throws the deep ball very well, judging on his high school tape and on his early college, you know, film from one game. Use the pistol to create more of that kind of downhill running game, play action stuff. I like that a lot. We know they like to go with the two tight ends from pistol at times, maybe some more of that. And you know what, Nooney Murray, you want to go to the NFL? Okay, step up and play with some more maturity. Be in the right spot, run the right route. Don't complain and throw a little temper tantrum on the sideline when you don't get the ball. Know it's going to come to you eventually. And you know, how about stepping up and supporting your true freshman quarterback? Mm-hmm. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, or any of the other people in your wide receiver unit too. That'd be nice as well.
Yeah, that could work. And hey, you know what, George Campbell, one-on-one. Maybe you can get him wide open in this game. That'd be great. Like I just think he has the level of speed.
The words right out of my mouth. Yeah. Wake Forest should not be able to stop a George Campbell 9 route. Now, obviously, if that's all he runs up and does all game, but situationally, you should be able to scheme where Wake Forest simply doesn't have a kid of the level of talent that's necessary to be able to try to run with Campbell.
You should try to.
Not many people do.
If you get 70 plays in this game, you should try to take two or three downfield shots to George Campbell, because I like your chances of hitting one of three, and I'll take those. I'll take those odds all day. You know,
certainly.
That'd be really nice.
That'd make a nice yard per play if you hit one of the three.
By the way, I think what we're going to come out of this game saying is that the offensive line played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it would be nice to get that final vote of confidence that you're able to say that the offensive line played well and had a good game, and not necessarily qualify it with the level of competition that they played against, because even doing that, for the most part, they really have played pretty well. Didn't have the greatest of moments in the back end of the second quarter and parts or the majority of the second half last week. But on the whole, that unit, I think, has played probably at a higher level than most would have anticipated.
If you listen real closely this week, Jimbo was not afraid to kind of single out certain units that maybe need to play better, or when he got asked about it, he said, actually, no, I thought they played okay. He was pretty complimentary of the offensive line, which I think will come to a surprise to a lot of people who want to blame every issue on the team, even the defense on the offensive line. But I think they're going to play well. I think they can get some movement at the point of attack. And you're right. I think Jaquez Patrick falling forward here could certainly be nice. And Cam Akers on some stretch plays could be well, you know, could be good as too. Wake loves to get upfield with those quick ends. And, you know, if you can take those guys in stretch play and just take them where they want to go and just wash them out of the play, that's a lot of real estate those backers and safeties have to cover because the holes you're creating. So you could definitely see some of that this week.
So before we transfer to offense, but just a random comment. But you're 0-2. You're traveling to Wake Forest, and one of your better offensive players is possibly available in a emergency situation. Is it just a bizarre situational resemblance of 2011?
God, you're right. Yeah. And for all you students who don't know, or maybe first time listening to us and maybe didn't grow up watching Florida State, Ingram, why don't you fill them in on what happened there?
Yeah, well, it's actually a game that I referenced a couple weeks ago, too, when I say that there's a game that's refereed badly enough where I seriously just doubt the whole integrity of the whole sporting event. And if you ever want to go back and look at that, it's a slew of errors. One of the highlighted by the guy moving the ball during the process of the measurement, but there's a holding call that is one of the more sketchy things I've ever seen as far as when the flag's called, where it's thrown, etc. But the reference I was making is that you went up there, you lost to Oklahoma, which was probably expected. You lost to Clemson in a really close, entertaining game, but you lost nonetheless. Had an off week, went to Wake Forest. EJ Manuel in this situation was the player that was available in emergency situation, and he ended up losing one of the more uncomfortable games in the Jimbo Fisher era.
That was crazy, and he came back and he almost let him back. You know what? One thing that game reminds me of here is the importance of being patient, right? Like we know Florida State's going to want to scheme some deep balls open. That's something that very much fits James Blackman's skill set. But Wake is a team that they don't want to give up a lot of deep balls. They're going to try to make you see if you can execute consistently and methodically down the field, or not down the field, but march on long play drives. They're not necessarily going to give you a ton of one-on-one matchups down the field. So that's where running the ball is going to be important. And like we said last week, hey, punting is not the worst thing in the world, especially not, by the way, if Logan Tyler keeps punting like he's been punting.
And, Bud, real quickly before we transition to the other side of the ball, want to remind people of the 2017 Florida Tap Invitational being put on by Proof Brewing Company and our friendly sponsors, the good people at For the Table Restaurant Group. We've talked about this previously. Take a look at the two different tier tickets. It's a fantastic event. It's local. It features local beers. It's Florida Tap Invitational. Search it in Google. You'll find more details, and just want to give people a final reminder of that. And, Bud, one other thing is we'll go ahead and not necessarily announce our fourth partner, but remind people that Sodo, the Sodo Baking Company, also of For the Table Restaurant Group lineage, is, I think, officially open as of tomorrow. So it is a great, again, locally owned place. Follow them on Instagram, any of their social platforms. They'll give you a great idea as to what they're doing. Some really very much kind of standard for what For the Table does. It's got some real fantastic, well-done classics and also some really kind of creative and innovative things that they're doing over there.
And it's a great blend of, like, you know, sweet and savory. BLT dip filled baked goods. That looks really good. Yeah.
So it is one of their only locations that's not over there, kind of in their over in the shadow of Doak Campbell Stadium, as we frequently say. So do give it a look on Google or one of their social platforms. Get a good idea exactly where they are over there on Thomasville Road. And yet another fantastic addition to the Tallahassee culinary scene.
Absolutely. That's going to be really, really awesome. And congrats to those guys, man. Keep expanding, keep thriving. And that's great. It's really a great product.
All right, Bud. Let's look at what Wake Forest wants to do when they have the ball. Why don't you go ahead and give people an idea as to just what they want to do from a idea of scheme, but also what they look like up front with their offensive line.
Sure. So Wake Forest is pretty much all shotgun, which, hey, that's what they've been the last couple of years. That's what Dave Clawson likes to do. They are almost always either in one back or empty. They don't do a whole lot of two back stuff from what I've seen, at least on the plays they scored on. Their offensive line is not tiny, and it's not as bad as it used to be. It's still not great. They have a couple guys in like the 290 range, a couple guys in like the 305, 310 range, but it's not huge. It's not like a real line that's going to lean on you a whole lot. When they go empty, sometimes it's four wide and one tight end. Sometimes they'll go empty with two tight ends. Sometimes they'll go motion the back out of the backfield to create the empty set. So they do like to play a decent amount of empty, but they also play a lot with three wides, one tight end, and one running back, kind of that old Buffalo Bills K-gun look for those of y'all who remember the Marv Levy offense from back in the day. That's kind of a throwing it back.
Love the K-gun reference there. Not necessarily something our younger listeners will get, but worth taking a look at if you have 90 seconds on YouTube to kill or something like that. Old Bill highlights. Their quarterback that you might see in a formation such as that, John Walford, really good at executing what they ask of him and really good at riding out options, RPOs, and makes a good decision when he does finally make his mind up as to what he wants to do. So a kid that's real comfortable in their system and a kid that maximizes his knowledge and comfortableness in the offense with, let's see, how can I say this? When they do hit a deep ball, it's normally because they've created some confusion with what they put in front of people. And Walford's able to take advantage of that and put the ball where it needs to go to find a big play.
He is one of the best I've ever seen, not at football, but at the, like, riding out the decision on whether to hand the ball off or keep it or pull it and throw it. Man, it seems like he just has that ball in that running back's belly forever. I mean, there's a play in
ages.
Yeah, there's a play in the Boston College game. You can see it where they're in gun. He turns to do like the zone read action there, and it's so long in there that you assume he's going to pull it out, right? And then you can see the backer actually start to pedal out just a little bit because he thinks the guy's going to throw it, and he just ends up keeping in the running back's gut, and he takes it for a touchdown. But I think five of his passing touchdowns were like of the wide open variety off of a RPO style play fake. Now Wake will definitely do the thing where they send the lineman downfield to mess with the reads a little bit. That's just going to happen, but they're not like maybe quite as egregious with it as like an Ole Miss was back in the day when they were running that Hugh Freeze, you know, totally above board, everything about the program above board system. So yeah, but that's how they create a lot of their big plays, man. Now think about this:
their offense was like their recruiting, just totally, totally by the book and squeaky clean.
You could just call up a big play whenever you needed one.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now think about this though: on downs where the play fakes don't seem to matter because it's like second and long, third and long type stuff, Wake Forest is 115th nationally. That's terrible. I mean, that's like we talked about NC State was not a great third down long team, and they made us look stupid because Wake FSU's defense played like jerks on third and long. Wake Forest is a lot worse on third and long. Their guys are not really set up to pass protect in that situation. When the play fake doesn't work, their guys don't get open quite as well as it does when they're able to, you know, really RPO your butt to death. On downs where play fakes do work, they're 40th nationally. So you're talking about going from 40th to 115th. Mm-hmm. That is a really big split. That's a bigger split than we saw with NC State. So getting them to those second and third longs is going to be a big deal. Part of that is tough, though, because Walford is a really, really good runner, man. He's not like a burner, but he picks up yards. He's actually their leading rusher on the year. 43 carries already for 291 on the season. That's 6.8 per rush.
Really, really capable runner. So they, you know, what you just said certainly makes sense. Doesn't matter how good you are at staying in the mesh of an option. If it's third and 11, then I'm maybe not quite as intrigued to bite on that one way or another if I'm a defender. They love to kind of hit you with draws in the second, third down of a offensive possession, something that Jimbo Fisher's always historically been pretty good at. And Wake Forest can make that a bit of what they want to do against you, particularly against an aggressive defense.
They are on a percentage basis. They run the ball on second and third and long the seventh most often in the nation. So they really like to get back to like third and manageable by running on second and long. That's just something to think about there. Their running back, by the way, is a guy. He's not an explosive guy. He's like 5'10", maybe 215. Falls forward pretty well. He's not going to make you miss. He's not probably beating you to the corner, but he does do a good job of always getting two or three. He doesn't often get stopped for zero, and that really helps keep them ahead of the chains, and it helps keep them in positive leverage situations. But they also haven't faced a defense like Florida State's.
Speaking of the defense, how do you think Florida State's gonna attack Wake Forest, and what kind of personnel do you think they're going to have at their disposal to do it?
Man coverage. I think we need to play a lot of man coverage this week because that helps to – now, and when I'm talking about man coverage, I'm talking about man coverage without the fifth-year senior DB-style man coverage that was on display last week where you're playing man, but you look into the backfield like you're playing zone and you get caught several times. No, just – stick with your man coverage and let your beast up front win their battles and handle the run game, hopefully. You know, I think what they're going to do is play a lot of man coverage with cover one. So what do I mean by that? All right, your corners are in man. Your linebackers are in man. Derwin in the slot is in man. You're going to have either a safety or one of the linebackers playing kind of a robber zone, like a short zone, and then you're going to have your other safety playing a deep zone to kind of take away things in the middle. So what does this do? First of all, on the receivers, this helps take your backers kind of out of the bind, right? Like of having to worry about, okay, is this a run? It's a run. Oh, damn it, it's a pass. No, you're taking care of your guy. If he comes out to block you, take him on. If he you know, starts to block you and starts to run past you, all right, run with him. Cool. It's most likely going to be a pass. Then you have your guys in the middle, your guys playing that robber coverage, who are able to actually keep their eyes on the quarterback, keep their eyes on what's going on, so they can you know, focus more on the run and the pass. But most of your guys are going to be playing their receivers, playing your man coverage. Now, I'm sure Wake will have some ways they're going to try and defeat this, just like NC State did. I'm not so sure they're going to be able to do it quite as much. Also, if you're playing a cover one robber type thing, then your robber underneath can focus on the quarterback run. And since Walford does run a lot for them, it's good to have a good mixture of guys in man coverage and then designated guys who are not in man coverage who can actually be taking care of their jobs and kind of making plays by using their eyes.
Yeah, he almost acts as a de facto spy the way that plays out frequently. And that wouldn't be the worst thing to have here against their quarterback.
This isn't anything groundbreaking, by the way. This is the way that most teams that have the athletes to do it defend the RPOs. Because who are you putting in a bind? Hopefully, if you're the defense, nobody. It's just, most teams don't have the athletes to do this. Some teams have the athletes to do it and then don't put them in good situations and don't really have them prepared to do it. But hopefully that won't be Florida State on Saturday. You're going to have to play some two and some quarters as well. We'll see how that works when they go five wide. You know, that concerns me a little bit, but I think they'll be able to do a decent job. You know, the main thing is just getting the run fits down and making sure that the guys are in the right gaps because if you're playing that man, you're going to have to make sure you're in the gap, you're in your right gaps and that you're taking care of what you need to take care of up front. You can't be undisciplined, especially because you're going to have so many guys with their back potentially to the quarterback when you're playing that man coverage. But I think the front is going to be very key in this game, and I think they'll do a good job. You know, you have Brian Burns and Josh Kando and Josh Sweat and all them dudes. We know Matthew Thomas is back, and from what I understand, was a full participant in practice. I'm not sure about Hoskins. I guess we'll see there. I know he was in and out of the game some on Saturday, and we'll see if he I don't know how much he's practiced or if he's going to play. I think you'd probably continue to use Derwin in the slot, and I, as I suggested on the last podcast, I don't necessarily need to see a whole lot more of Nate Andrews. I'm not trying to knock on Andrews, just got more other guys with more ability.
If you're going to act like that, you really can't play as a physically limited fifth-year senior. You can't do it. So everybody's appreciative of Nate and what he's meant to the program over the past couple of years, but that's not – no, you're not being cold-hearted to say that you don't necessarily need to see that kid on the field anymore.
Exactly. So also going to need more physicality out of the corners this week. I really loved how hard T-Mac played against Alabama, but last week against NC State, it wasn't necessarily the most physical against the run. And then Westbrook, I think, is going to be very key here as well, coming down to fill the alley. He was not a great fill player against NC State. We saw that one time on the screen they hit on the 3rd and 13. He's going to need to play better. But I think for the most part, man, play a lot of cover one. Do some of your blitzes off the edge. I'd like to see some more pressure come up the middle at times. But with a pretty mobile quarterback, I understand the edge pressure. It also kind of heats up the zone read game some, and it can dictate the decision at times. And see if Wake Forest can actually block your guys on the interior of this defensive line. I have a feeling that Nadi and Christmas and those dudes could have a big day.
Well, I mean, I think the Matthew Thomas thing is a big deal, and if you've got Thomas back and Auden Tate appears to be a guy who you can have a legitimate expectation to see, certainly by Miami, then that's a real big step in the right direction for both of these units, and has to make you feel a little bit better and be a little bit of a positive note for a fan base that might be in the need for optimistic or at least something to give you some sort of optimism for the rest of the year.
100%. Now, emotionally, are you worried about this? Like the team's mindset?
I think, and we're kind of getting here to this part of the podcast naturally, I think Florida State wins this game. I think they may not necessarily have the best first quarter ever, but I think they win this game fairly handily. I'm not worried that the team has completely checked out. I don't know that you get their best effort, but if you manage to win this game and you manage to win your next two games, then I think you've got a real good chance that you have a entire emotional buy-in. But until you lose your third game here, I think you've got the majority of this roster, and I think you may be a little bit flat-footed at the beginning, but you'll have a level of intensity needed to win.
I think they need to get off to a good start. If things go poorly, I don't know that this team has the mental toughness and the trust in the coaching staff that they're going to fight through it. I hope they will, but it, You know, we saw this group quit last year. It's largely the same group. You know, if things go bad, I do worry about that, but I think they'll get off to a decent start. I know that's not what they normally do. And look, I think Florida State or Wake Forest is a pretty good team. They're not great. They're not like, hey, this is the top 25 team, guys. You know, like I think they're a considerable step down from NC State, but this is also coming off a loss, so it's a potential hangover game. And you have Miami on deck, which is very much a look-ahead spot. So this is a difficult spot. But prediction-wise, I got to say, I don't know if you're ready to do predictions yet. I like FSU here, man.
Mm-hmm. I like them a lot, particularly with the points. And I mean, I like them. Interesting. I'm not sure they come out of the gate immediately, but I think they win this game somewhere between 17 and 20 points, something like 34 to 13, something, some type of score like that.
I was going to go 30 to 17, which is still a pretty comfortable cover for Florida State. I could certainly see 30 to 13 or something like that, but I'm going to go 30 to 17. This will be an interesting one.
I think Florida State has a little bit better athletes. I think they score late and extend a game or extend a lead. But I think Florida State covers comfortably. Certainly hope they do and respond. And look, you know, we certainly had our said what we said last weekend and or last week and meant what we said. But it's not fun cheering for a team that doesn't win any damn games. And I think Florida State gets back on the right path and has this fan base turn its attention to a Miami game and a real chance to maybe not necessarily salvage the season, but put it back in a place where it's not quite the doom that seems to surround a lot to follow the program right now.
Oh, FSU can still have a good year. The problem is the expectations were to have a great year, mm-hmm. just as they were last year. And so you're.
And the problem is that you have a roster that could have had that could give you a great year.
Correct. Yeah, mm-hmm. the pieces were absolutely there to do it, and the coaches failed them, unfortunately. But no, man, I'm excited to watch this game. I do want to see, like, the main thing I want to look for is effort overall. How teams adjust to James Blackmon and like maybe there were things they identified. For instance, we know he didn't throw very many balls in the middle of the field. Okay. Is that because he doesn't read the middle of the field very well, or is that because he was just more confident going to the outside? I guess we'll see on that. Maybe some of the RPO stuff dictated the ball go outside. Maybe, you know, there's potentially a chance that that Wake Forest will say, okay, we're gonna see if you want to exploit the middle of the field, and maybe he'll be able to do that to Ryan Izzo and those guys, or maybe Nooney over the middle will be a more valuable thing there. We'll just have to see. But I'm excited to see that, and then on defense, I'm excited to see, you know, can they play with better technique? Can they play with better situational awareness? Can they play better as a team?
This concludes this episode of the Nolcast. Make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Write us at thenolcast@gmail.com or tweet us at Nolcast. All right, so this team's going to win at some point, and I think that point has come. So I'm going to pick the Noles to beat Wake Forest by a score of 28-13. They're going to come out slow, and they'll score about 4 touchdowns and be done. Wake Forest will be Wake Forest. So that's my prediction for that. Today's date is September 29th, 2017. For Ingram Smith and Bud Elliott, this is your producer, Judson Wright, signing out.